The pandemic has brought death much closer to everyday life for many people in Connecticut and around the world. But it's also had a big impact on how we memorialize and mourn the dead. Connecticut Public Radio's Frankie Graziano has this examination of death in the age of COVID-19.
For the past 4 years, Deborah Halverson and Sister Sue Sorella would visit their mom in a Stratford nursing home 4 to 5 times a week.
My sister and I loved each other. We were partners, we were friends, and we thought we would see it through together with mom and then have time to do some traveling together and some of the things that we were, you know, just really too busy to do.
If there's anything Halverson's learned from what she's been through the past couple of months, it's to not wait for someday to do things with someone you love. Sue Sorella died suddenly on March 10th, one day before the World Health Organization deemed the COVID-19 situation a pandemic. Sue's death was unrelated to coronavirus, but the virus would wreak havoc on Halverson's plans to memorialize her sister, and it would impact how she'd communicate with her mother, Betty Ann.
They had already closed down the nursing homes at that time, so they let me come in to talk with her. I didn't want her wondering what had happened to Sue. I knew I wasn't going to be able to visit anymore.
Meanwhile, in New Haven, Paul Bass was mourning the loss of his brother Robert. Bass is the editor of the New Haven Independent and a frequent guest on Connecticut Public Radio.
I loved my brother. He was very good to me. He was 5 years older than I was. He gave up a lot growing up to take care of me because our mother died when we were very little.
Bass says he's been prepared for Robert's death for a couple of years now. His brother had ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. He wasn't exactly prepared, though, for what had happened afterward. He knew he wanted to do right by Robert and give him a proper Jewish send-off, which requires a prompt burial. It'd take place in a cemetery in Westchester County, New York.
Under normal circumstances, we would have gathered indoors first and had probably a couple hundred people.
It happened to be around the time when, in the same county, one of the world's most devastating outbreaks of COVID-19 was beginning to spread. He wrestled over whether he should go through with it.
I thought the hardest part was figuring out whether you could have 10 people get together, even at a 6-foot distance, to bury someone according to Jewish tradition. Because you need the 10. You need the 10 adults to say the Kaddish prayer.
The Kaddish prayer is an integral part of Jewish mourning rituals. It must be recited daily through the stages of mourning. Bass believes that these traditions are in place for the living.
The Kaddish prayer doesn't mention death. It mentions lines that you have the hardest time believing in when someone close to you dies, which is that God exists, or that you praise God, or that things work out the way they should. And the reason for that is that 10 people are around you reinforcing that when they say Amen, and they're telling you that there's a reason to keep going, even though it's hard.
Traditional customs surrounding death in all religions are under attack in the age of COVID-19. Islam, like Judaism, prescribes that the dead should be buried as soon as possible following their expiration. Burial is preceded by the washing and shrouding of the body. But as Imam Rafai Arifin of the Berlin Mosque points out, that's been compromised by coronavirus.
The problem with that is if you do that on a very short time scale, you're increasing the risk and exposure to the people who may be performing the washing and the shrouding, because the process itself requires them to be in very close contact with the deceased.
Arifin and his partners in the Islamic Association of Greater Hartford are telling congregants to contact only funeral homes recommended by them. Places where those preparing the body for a Muslim burial are outfitted with proper personal protective equipment. With PPE being hard to come by during this pandemic, they've modified their custom.
In that context, what we've requested is that the individuals who are doing the washing should actually skip the process of washing the body and substitute it with the ceremonial process of tayammum, in which dirt is utilized rather than water.
Allahu Akbar. Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu wa'afi wa'fu anhu.
He sees this kind of adaptation as a positive, proof that the religion isn't so rigid, that adjustments can be made to protect the living while accommodating the dead. Paul Bass went through this with his brother's burial in March.
So we just decided in the end to take a million neurotic precautions, down to having a rag for when we grab the shovel to put the dirt on the grave to cover the hands, to have that hand sanitizer right after, to avoid touching other people when you want to hug or get real close.
Even though Bass didn't get to bury his brother in total accordance with Jewish tradition, he found something positive in the experience. He's inspired by adaptive measures afforded to him so he can move forward after Robert's death.
While you lose something by not being able to follow traditional ritual, you gain something about the deeper, timeless human instinct to work together through difficult times.
For Dr. John Woodall, that's exactly the right approach.
I don't want to pathologize everything that's going on right now. I actually think it's a very fertile time for personal transformation, transformation in families, in our community, the nation, and the world, if we view it through the right lens.
Woodall has a lot of experience with loss. He now works in Newtown. Before that, he worked with former Ugandan child soldiers and in other trauma zones like post 9/11 New York City. He says people tend to treat grief as something that's unhealthy, something you get over, and that's a missed opportunity.
Grief is a form of love. We only grieve things that we love. So if we focus on the loss, then that's the experience of grief. But with a slight change of focus, we look at the thing about our loved one that was lovable. And what was it that made that person lovable?
He says something that's come up a lot lately is how an adult should address grief with a child after they lose a parent or a grandparent. Woodall recommends telling a story about the deceased person and finding a way to connect their best qualities to the person left behind.
Jimmy, let's say, you know, when you just did that with your sister, that was the kind of kindness that your grandfather used to show all the time. So that really has a huge value in the family. I'm just so grateful that you're keeping that alive in the family.
It's an approach to grief with a feeling of love rather than loss. For Deborah Halverson, the unfolding global pandemic was a distraction from where she wanted to be, grieving the loss of a sister and caring for her elderly mother. She says that as those most uncertain early pandemic days wore on, she was surprised at how well her mother was doing, isolated in her Stratford nursing home. After all, the mother was used to seeing one of her daughters at least four times a week.
I spoke with her on the phone as often as I could. I was able to do a video chat and actually a window visit with her. She looked good.
Halverson first heard about her mother's illness on a Friday in April.
I called the next day, and it had been 2 weeks since they had moved her roommate who had COVID-19 out of her room.
That Sunday, Halverson got a phone call at 4:30 in the morning. She was told that if she wanted to, she could see her mother for 15 minutes. When she got to the nursing home, she put on gloves, a mask, and a hospital Johnny over her clothes.
You know, I was told to not touch anything and to just, you know, no hugs and kisses, but I could hold her hand and talk to her, and, you know, which I did.
Halverson's mother, Betty Ann Belden, died 2 days later. She was 88. It was a second devastating loss for Deborah Halverson about 50 days after she lost her sister. On top of that, because she'd been exposed to COVID-19, she had to self-quarantine in her room for a couple of weeks.
It comes over me and kind of, you know, abates a little and then comes over again. I have a feeling that, you know, once things settle down, if they do, that it's going to really prolong the grief process, this whole isolation and the virus situation.
With memorials delayed in many traditions, those of us who have lost a loved one may find that sadness returns down the road. Almost a month after her passing, there will be a memorial event for Betty Ann Belden. Halverson says her family will gather to honor her mother in a sign of the times via Zoom. Frankie Graziano, Connecticut Public Radio.